Now, India also had developed a similar kind of culture, a very highly developed intellectual culture. Particularly from the time of Mahabharata downwards, for more than 1,000 years, we developed a very highly developed intellectual culture. At some other time we shall discuss this point, but I am only making a note now that this is the kind of culture that we also developed in India. And just as Greek culture fell, this intellectual culture of India also had a declining period. Although we had a longer history of intellectual life than Greek culture and other cultures of the world, but still we went into decline. But whereas Greek culture died down completely, this culture did not die out. So we still have some kind of intellectual idealism which still belong to the ancient times, and there is some kind of continuity with the present. Even in the period of decline, something of the glory of their intellectual period remained. As long as we remain confined to a physical, vital and mental culture, we have still not entered into the truly spiritual or psychic culture. And it is that to which now we turn. We find that even when the mind is very developed, even when all the three parts of the being of the mind, the logical, the ethical and the artistic, are very developed, even then the full harmony does not come about. Some harmony is achieved, but not the true and full harmony. Because what is ultimately the meaning of harmony? A true harmony is achieved when every element is placed in its right place. When you enter into this room and you find that everything is in the right place, you feel there is a harmony. Nothing juts out, nothing is excessive, everything is balanced. And where the thing has to be, if that thing is to be found, you find that there is a real harmony. Therefore, there must be a governing principle which decides which thing has to be at what place. A governing principle working luminously, effecting the direction and the placement of every element, is the condition of harmony. So there must be a governing principle, there must be a hierarchy of things, each one of which obeys the governing principle, and therefore every place, everything is in its own proper place. A governing principle, hierarchy and obedience of each element to the governing principle, these are the elements which are required for harmony. Since mind is not the governing principle, since vital is not the governing principle, body is not the governing principle, so long as we become aware only of these three elements, we can never arrive at the true harmony. We have to find out the real governing principle. That governing principle is called the soul. The very meaning of soul is a governing principle. That which governs is the soul. The governing principle itself becomes the stuff of everything. That which governs and that which becomes the stuff of things is the soul. When I breathe with the breath of that, then that is my soul, by whose breath I breathe. That under whose command I am guided is my soul. So mind, life and body are truly governed by an entity which is the soul in us, of which normally we are not aware. We are not aware of the real stuff of the body, life and mind. We are aware of the body, life and mind in their activities, even by perception, by experience. But we are not aware of whose stuff it is made, or they are made. What is the origin, what is the source of all this? What is the stuff of which the mind is a weaving? Mind is a fabric by itself, but the stuff of which it is a fabric is the soul. And of that we are not aware. We are aware only of the threads of the fabric of the mind. But we are not aware of that stuff of which these are the fabrics. In other words, we are not gone deep enough to find out from where these strings of the stuff are spreading out in our body, life and mind. Normally what happens is that this particular stuff, the soul, is first experienced only in the form of an influence. It is like the breeze coming from somewhere, and we experience that blow of the breeze, and we find it is something different from the breeze of the mind or life or body. It has a different character in it. We first only distinguish it very indistinctly, and we feel it is somewhat different. But we like it very much. And when that influence begins to become stronger, when the breeze begins to become wind and blows very heavily, then we are obliged to take cognizance of it and we become aware of it much more concretely. Then we begin to recognize that there is an entity within us which is spontaneous in character. Which is not only spontaneous, but spontaneous towards truth, beauty and goodness. it is as spontaneous as the body is spontaneous, as spontaneous as the vital is spontaneous. The body and the vital are not spontaneous towards truth, beauty and goodness. Whereas this stuff is spontaneous, straight it moves towards truth, beauty and goodness. In the vital being or in the physical being, all our instincts are spontaneous. And most of us live physical and vital life by instincts and impulses, which are spontaneous. You don't need to train them. Hunger, for example, physical hunger, appetite, is spontaneous. And one wants to eat food, one likes to eat food, enjoy food. It is instinctive, spontaneous. But it wants to eat food, physical. Similarly, there is a spontaneity in the soul, but its real food is goodness. Its food is beauty. Its food is truth. It's a natural, spontaneous turning towards truth, beauty and goodness. It's the first mark of the distinct nature of the soul. Now, all human beings, since they've got the presence of the soul in them, they sometimes feel the presence of it. At times they do feel the spontaneous turning towards truth, beauty and goodness. You witness a heroic action of somebody and you admire it. It's a psychic response, it's a soul response. You find somebody uttering the truth and you feel greatly uplifted. It is a soul response. You don't even reason why he is good or bad or anything. Simply because of the truth force, there is a spontaneous reaction to it. You may see a beautiful sunrise and you feel admiration for it. You feel the whole world quickened, everything marvelous, and the whole thing turning into a kind of experience of beauty. It is a soul response. And such experiences we all have from time to time, without recognizing that the source of it is in the soul. But when these responses of the soul begin to infiltrate more and more into mind, life and body, they constitute some kind of an influence. That is how we are turned to the soul, but not being aware of it, even mentally,